Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name's Lana Noctigal. My cohort, Donna Prisgintis, has airplane issues today and is stuck somewhere between here and New York City. But she is on her way. She will join us next week. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We are on community radio. Community radio exists from help by all sorts of volunteers and good supporters. And here is word from one of them. Support comes from Wheatsfield Grocery, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned and community-focused since 1974. Open daily 7 to 9. Located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op. Well, I hope you all celebrated a good summer solstice last weekend. It was a beautiful weekend to get together and sort of watch the Iowa summer evening happen. It was a lovely evening. We've been having good Iowa summer hot weather, some mosquitoes, and it's been lovely in the evening, too. One of the pleasures of summer is gathering at festivals, at fairs. There's the Iowa State Fair that captures our imagination in August, but county fairs, there's county fairs all over the place. Yes, they still go on, just in our viewing area, in our listening area, just close by, starting July 8th. Oh, no, starting July 7th, the Greene County Fair in Jefferson's going. And then July 8th is a start for the Webster County Fair, the Hardin County Fair, Marshall County Fair, and the Dallas County Fair. And there's more. Hamilton County Fair starts July 21st. Polk County Fair starts July 22nd. The Boone County Fair starts July 23rd. And the Story County Youth Fair in Nevada, Iowa, starts July 24th, and they're celebrating a big anniversary for that, too. So there's lots of opportunities. What is it about a county fair? Folks gather for a few days in the hot of the summer on a dusty fairground to judge livestock and blueberry pies, to enjoy their once-a-year kinds of food treats, to suspend disbelief and to strap themselves into improbable carnival rides and experience a bit of magic. Joining me in the kitchen today is Doc Anderson, someone who has a long-time first-hand knowledge of Iowa fairs and festivals. Welcome.
Hello.
Doc grew up on county fairgrounds, carnival midways, and paramutual horse tracks across the Midwest, surrounded by carnies, horse traders, gamblers, fortune tellers, psychics, spirit mediums, and magicians. Doc Anderson has made a career out of his love for the unusual, those lost performing arts, and all manner of secret knowledge not available to the general public. And along the way, he even inherited an old-time medicine wagon. He also is part of another hidden community. Doc has a disability. As a result, he's been a longtime advocate for inclusion and equality. He worked as the Affirmative Action ADA Diversity Coordinator for the state of Iowa and served on both the Governor's Equality Employment Task Force and the State Special Education Advisory Panel. First thing, I've always known you as Eric, I've known you for quite a few years. How did you get the nickname of Doc?
Well, I inherited a traveling medicine wagon show. My mentor, a man by the name of Bob Brown, I apprenticed under a magician for about 7 years to learn that side of the trade. Well, he told me about a fellow that he knew, a friend of his, that had been doing a medicine show for some 20, 25 years, and he was ready to move on to other things. He was kind of getting a little too old for that, and he wanted to go to someone who understood heritage entertainment. And I do a lot of things with 19th century skills, cons and swindles, and demonstrations of seances and cowboy festivals and all that stuff. So I had a pretty good handle on the history and heritage of entertainment. So I inherited a medicine show.
You did, and a wagon, the kind of wagon that would be pulled by a horse?
The original wagon that we got, it was a two-thirds sized horse-drawn wagon. It was Amish built, which means it was a wooden tank. It was about 800 pounds.
Oh, my.
And it was top heavy and overbuilt, and we were loading this thing on and off of a 4x8 trailer, and it was difficult. So I actually designed my own medicine show wagon with a stage that folds in off the front, and my dad and I designed it, and so we've been using that for the last 8 years. So I've been doing a medicine show now for 10 years around fairs and festivals throughout the Midwest, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas.
So you're part of the magic that people come to see.
Yes, yes. I am other people's vacation.
Oh, yes, you are. Oh, my goodness, yes. I recently reconnected with you at the Ames Farmers Market. Like I say, I see you in town and I say hi every now and then, but you gather a crowd. At the Ames Farmers Market, you gather a crowd of not just little kids, but big kids, too, and you make these great balloons. Tell me about that process.
Well, that's what I do. You know, people ask me what I do for a living, and I tell them I do stupid things and get paid for it, which is the greatest job ever. But I am the last of a dying breed. I am an old-time outdoor showman. So part of that is I do balloon animals for kids as part of my shows when I'm doing the medicine show at fairs and festivals. And so got the bright idea that, you know, there are some weekends where I'm not doing other things. So I came down to the farmer's market, talked to Lojean, the manager of the farmer's market, and she thought that sounded like a wonderful idea. So I drug my balloons down and I started twisting the kids around while I did the balloons.
Oh, you did? Very good. You always have such friendly manner and a friendly way of getting to knowing these kids. I often experience at fairs and festivals and things, if someone is in clown face, they're a little scary, but you are very accessible and people have a good time when they come and get a balloon from you.
Well, sometimes I'm at fairs doing balloons and I'll be there with other balloon folks. And sometimes you see some of these people doing balloons, and I swear, when they're doing their balloons, some of them look downright unpleasant. They look like they're doing their taxes. And this is supposed to be fun. And you've got this opportunity with every – it's kind of like working retail, you know, working the cash register. There's a line of people, but, you know, the person you're dealing with is the one in front of you. Well, that's kind of what I do with kids. I have an opportunity to have a moment with each individual child, and that child is the most important thing in my universe at that moment. The balloon is probably the least important thing I'm doing. The most important thing is the interaction with that child.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What else do you do for kids besides making balloons?
Well, I do a variety of shows. I do birthday parties. I do scout events. I will go wherever they pay me because that's how I make my living. Is I get paid to do stupid things, and which is the kind of thing that your guidance counselor didn't really tell you was a job option. But I've also done magic in restaurants.
Oh, yes.
And I actually the last restaurant I did, I was there for 10 years.
Oh, my.
Table to table. I watched kids grow up in that restaurant.
Oh, really? Yes. So you are a master of prestidigitation. I've always wanted to say that word. A master of the sleight of hand. How in the world did you get into that sort of livelihood?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, I was driving my mother crazy one day. And she had two nerves, and I was on both of them. So she'd finally had enough. She got up. She walked over. She looked at me, and she said, "Eric," and I thought I was dead at that point. She said, "We're going to the library." which is not what I expected her to say. Well, we went off to the library, and she knew I knew the rules because you had to be quiet in the library. So she got a couple hours of relative quiet. I went back in the stacks. I discovered books on magic, just what every 10-year-old child wants, secret knowledge to warp the laws of the universe. The producers are sitting across the table over here going, yes, that's what I want.
Yes, yes.
And so I checked out some books on magic and took it home and practiced and started inflicting it on my family, which really is the proper word at that point. But I can say confidently, I was a child prodigy with magic because my entire family, every one of them, at the same time agreed I was so good I should go do it for other people.
So they encouraged you now to go and bother, I mean, go and perform for someone else. Very good. Very good. You talk about your love for the unusual, and that sort of unusual, love for the unusual, it does gather a crowd. We may not want to know about con games and how the pee under the shell works and all that.
Of course you do.
But
if you can do it without getting bit,
if
you can do it without actually losing money, then it becomes an adventure. And, well, for instance, fairs and festivals. I do the medicine show. Between shows, between the big stage shows, I will do demonstrations of magic tricks for the little ones and cons and swindles for the adolescents and the adults. And the interesting thing is that all of this stuff that was done in the 19th century and before, I've got con games that go back before the days of Shakespeare. The game called Fast and Loose, which Shakespeare actually makes reference to, playing fast and loose with the truth, is a reference to an old con game, sometimes called Nipping the Garter. And all of these games that were designed to separate people from their money still work today, every bit as well as they did. I will be on these fairgrounds and I'll be demonstrating some of these games. And these adolescents, I was in Fort Dodge a couple weeks ago, and started doing the shell game, and this kid come up with his dad. And you could see the grin on the dad's face because, you know, he said, oh, I got to watch my son get taken by this. This is, you know, what every dad lives for. And so I started working and saying this kid was convinced he could figure this thing out. And he very quickly learned that old age and treachery wins over youth and enthusiasm pretty much every time.
Oh, was this a card game you were doing? Or
Three shell game. It's three walnut shells and a little pea. But it's no different than the three card Monty or any of a number of games that appear to be chance. And they're not.
Oh, they're not chance.
They are absolute swindles. And here's the thing that most people don't realize is to a con man, this is kind of why I got into this stuff, is that I grew up watching the gamblers and the con men, and I watched them take money off of people. And I thought it was pretty cool. I was 10. And when I grew up, I learned, wow, okay, these are not really good people to emulate. But I got a degree in theater, and my mentor kind of smacked me upside the head one day and said, you know, you got a degree in theater. Why don't you play the part of the con man and get paid for it? Duh. So now I demonstrate this stuff, and I show people just how easily they can get taken.
That's part of the entertainment now.
It is. It is. And, you know, I don't even have to cheat with the games to take people.
Oh.
So, for instance, let's say all of us in this room were playing a game of three-card Monty, okay?
All right.
Now, we've got our engineers in here. You're going to be the roper. You're going to be the lookout. Okay. And so I start throwing the cards around, and you put $20 down on a card. Okay.
All right.
Well, immediately, you know, my roper puts 40 down on another card.
Oh.
I tell you, I've got to go with the biggest bet. I give you back your 20, take his 40. It's all our money, understand?
Okay.
And I turn over the card. Nope, you lose, and I pocket his 40. It's over here, and show that you would have won. So I've just shown you that you can now beat this game without having to part with my money, because I am not about to do that. So now I'll throw it again. Now, the other person playing the game, there may be five people playing the game. You're the only one in there with money, right?
Okay.
The other person, he's going to lean over and he says, every time you bet on the right card, he's going to double the bet and freeze you out. Uh-huh. But if we go together, we can freeze him out and we can make a lot of money.
Oh.
So you are going to make a big bet. Cards go down, they get mixed around, and you make a big bet and you are sure it's going to be money from home. And he tries to double it. It gets doubled even further. You're now on top, and I take and I show you, you've just lost. I've just cheated you. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, the person who you're going in with, we're working together, they go ballistic.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness. You've lost my money.
Don't have to.
Yeah. So, well, no, they're going ballistic on you.
On my behalf.
At you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because you turned over the card. You lost their money. So now everything is upset. You're now on the defensive. Wait, I didn't. What did I do? And meanwhile, everyone has scattered like roaches. Okay, boom, gone. They've taken your money, and then they stomp off. But the game is not over yet, because now you have the cooler comes in.
Another one of your plants. Another one of your guys.
Yes, and usually it's an older gentleman, grandfatherly type. Don't let him fool you. And he comes over and he says, "I saw what just happened. You got taken by a Monty mob." Had that happened when I was younger, if I were you, I would just tell your husband that you lost your wallet. It's easier that way. And he puts you in a cab, gives you $20 to get you home, and you're off on your way. Meanwhile, he's lifted your wallet.
Oh my.
Now, you are now away from the scene of the crime. Mm-hmm. You are embarrassed. You are not going to tell the cops. What are you going to tell them? He out-cheated me?
Mm-hmm. It was a game?
Yeah. So it's... These are vicious, vicious things, and I learned how to do all of them. And so now I show people just what they are, all in good fun. It's illegal for me to take bets on these games, but it is perfectly legal for me to demonstrate them and get paid. And therein is where I make my money.
Oh, good for you. And that's part of the allure of going to these fairs and festivals where all these magic
experiential
things
entertainment. Ooh. That is what a fair is. It's about going and experiencing things.
Oh, wonderful. You said, let's talk more about you growing up in this environment.
My family business was racing harness horses.
Racing harness horses.
Goes back to my great-grandfather, Grandpa Backstrom. And so I grew up around horses, and you start out at county fairs when you're racing. You start out with an F license that allows you to race at fairs. And so when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, at every moment that I wasn't in the barn cleaning things up, I was over on the midway. And so I got to watch the carnies and got to know them and got to see how things worked, and I got to know what a square joint and a flat joint was. That's a carnival game that is honest and a carnival game that is rigged.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned the world of the carnival midway and the pitch and the fast talk, and I learned how these games worked and how they're rigged against you, and even the honest games. You know, if you think you are going to walk away with more than you spent, I've got a bridge I will sell you. Okay, it's over some swampland. It's really nice. You'll love it. But, you know, if you look at it as going and having a good time, like paying for a movie ticket and going for the experience, it is wonderful. It is great entertainment.
It's a very human thing.
Absolutely.
It's very, very human. You were growing up and you had some special needs, some developmental some developmental challenges that also you grew up with on a horse racing background and on county fairs and backgrounds too.
Well, a lot of people ask me what my disability is. I tell them I live in Iowa.
That'll do it.
I'm sorry. Okay, you're going to get mail on that. I'm really sorry about that. That's a joke. Later, I will say something that is not a joke, and then you can compare the two. Okay? So I have cerebral palsy, which means I walk kind of like a flamingo with its knees on backwards. Okay? That just – you are never going to get that picture out of your head now. I can tell. And it's okay. I laugh at it myself because it's there, it's visible, it's natural. It is simply what is normal for me.
That's how you get from here to there.
Yes, exactly. But growing up, it did affect how I grew up and things that happened to me. That is actually how I ended up learning some of these things, because these things I learned were things that you're not supposed to know about. So how did I learn them? Well, I was that quiet little cripple kid in the corner no one paid attention to. I was functionally invisible. So I got to watch these people work, and I got to learn how it worked and learn all the things around it and see the backside of it the general public doesn't. And then later, when I apprenticed under Bob and learned the magic side of things, I developed the skills and the flim-flam fingers to actually be able to do these things myself.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You learned how to make a career out of, like you said, something that your guidance counselor probably would not have suggested.
Well, okay, let me be real clear about this. I do not ever advocate, running these games for money, because mm-hmm. they are violent. They are it is theft, and if they can't take it from you at the table, they will take it from you behind one of the buildings by force. It is to a con man, you're an ATM. But it is fascinating, and there is something wonderfully interesting and seductive about it. And so people love the experience of being able to see what it's like without actually having to risk their own safety.
That's right. That's right.
It's a peek into a forbidden world.
It is. It is. And running across that at big public gatherings, somehow there is this safety in numbers. But still, we're willing to take a chance. We are willing to take a chance.
Well, I have actually run these games for real. Sort of. A number of years ago, I was doing a fundraiser for the ARC of Story County, formerly the Association for Retarded Citizens. It was a fundraiser to raise money for services for adults with developmental disabilities. And so they asked me if I would come down to their casino night, because they had a standard casino night where you have all the different tables and people will play the games and they'll get play money. And at the end of the night, whatever they've won, they get to use to they auction donated prizes. And so, they're always very popular. So they asked me to come in and run the street games, which was something that you just don't get to see. So at one point, I'm running this game, and there were three kinds of people at the event. There were the people coming to the event. There were also adults with developmental disabilities and mental retardation, and then often with them there were family members helping them navigate their way through the night and play the games and interact and it was great. So at one point I'm doing the Monty. Now that's three cards. We got two cards and the queen. The queen is the money card, or chase the ace. Five it gets you 10, 10 it gets you 20, and all you have to do is find the little lady. Well, so I'm doing the Monty, and I'm taking his money, but I'm actually paying him out a little more than I'm taking, because the whole idea is to put money in their hands so they've got something to auction at the end of the night. And so I'm stringing him back and forth and back and forth. He's having a good time. And I said, okay, you ready to make some big money? Oh, yeah. So he's all over it. And so I throw the cards, and I get him to bet on what is very obviously the wrong card. And so he's got this big stack of bills, and he just slams it down on this wrong card. Every other – there was a crowd of adults. Every other adult there practically sprained their wrist to correct his mistake because obviously he didn't want to do that. So I – and I played this like a real grifter. I grabbed their hand forcibly. I moved it back. I said, this is a player's game, not a spectator's game. His money talks. You're not playing. Oh, and they looked at me like I was the scum of the earth. I was taking advantage of this poor developmentally disabled adult. How could I sleep at night? I was suddenly Lucifer incarnate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just knew I was taking him to the cleaners. Well, I said, all right, you've made your bet. Turn over the card. He turns over the card. He won.
Ta-da.
And suddenly every other adult there realized that the real con had been on them all along.
Good
and
job.
And they got taken to the cleaners.
Good job, Doc. Oh,
that's called using your powers for good.
Oh, it's nice to know these things. It's time to say. You're listening to KHOI. Music. Community radio for the heart of Iowa. We'll listen to a little bit of music here. That was Wild Asparagus and some music, some good music from Wild Asparagus, the band. My name is Lana Nachtigal. I'm here in the Donna Lana kitchen with special guest Doc Anderson. We're talking about behind the scenes at some
really,
of our...
It's really entertaining watching you dance the reel to that...
I like that. Yeah,
People don't know that's actually what happens.
There's a lot of things that happen here. You never know. That's why it's called radio. Yes, sirree. We're talking about fairs and summer gatherings. Let's talk a little bit about fair food. Do you have any kind of favorite fair food, Doc?
Absolutely.
Being an expert and all in the genre?
Well, my favorite fair food is from the Martin County Fair up in Minnesota. We were there a couple of years, and they had the most incredible onion rings I have ever tasted in my life. They were amazing.
You heard it here first?
Yeah. It's just wonderful, wonderful stuff. Now, that being said, I've kind of maxed out on fair food growing up on county fairgrounds. I have to do a corn dog every year at the Iowa State Fair and a lemonade. One corn dog and a lemonade. And that pretty much does me for the year. That kind of fills my limit. But you know, I do enjoy good fair food. Now, here's the secret. If you want to eat really good food at fair, look for the Methodist Church stand.
Oh, yes.
You will find ladies there who know their way around a pie crust, and that is art.
Oh, very good.
We had a homemade gooseberry pie at one of the fairs I did recently, and it was absolutely homemade, and was just that's just pleasant memories just thinking about it.
Oh, thinking of Iowa county fairs. Look for that Methodist booth. I think that's a good idea. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Anytime food is on a stick, that's usually, that's vacation food. That's what that's, as the Cookie Monster would say, a sometimes food. But if you look at some of these little county fairs, you can find some real gems.
Oh, very good. Very good. I have a confession. I do have one of those sometimes food thing that I like to indulge in at least once a year. I've always liked cotton candy. And so cotton candy is my kind of go-to. It's on a stick, isn't it? It always has been on a stick. So I looked up a little bit about cotton candy here, and it's made by heating sugar and spinning that sugar around through tiny holes, and they add food coloring. It's often served at fairs, circuses, carnivals, sold on paper batons or in plastic bags. And it's called cotton candy in the United States and India and Canada. It's called candy floss in the UK, Pakistan, Ireland, New Zealand, India, South Africa, and Canada. And of all places, in Australia, they call it fairy floss.
Yes, they do. And actually, fair foods are eaten differently in different countries.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever watch, popcorn is a perennial.
Okay, that's good.
And if you watch Americans eat popcorn, they will just take a handful of it and, shove it in their gob, and we just sort of plow through it like an earth mover. But, in the UK, what you'll see, Germans very often, they will eat it one kernel at a time, one piece at a time, very, very deliberately. So, just the way we interact with our food culturally is fascinating, too.
Oh, another one of those nice things to notice as you're people watching at the fair. Here's a little history. Cotton candy was first recorded in Europe in the 19th century. At that time, it was a big deal to spin that sugar and labor-intensive, and the average person could not afford it. However, the first machine-spun cotton candy was invented in 1897 by, get this, William Morrison, who was a dentist, and a confectioner, John C. Wharton. And it was introduced.
That's called job security.
Oh, job security. And it made a big splash at the 1904 World's Fair. And there it was first called Fairy Floss. And it was sold for 25 cents a box. Now, that's pretty pricey there. It would be equivalent to $6 a box today. Big deal, big deal. And then another dentist, who are these guys? Joseph Lascaux from New Orleans patented the cotton candy and improved the machine and kind of sent it all over the world. And for those of you who are marking your calendars, the United States celebrates National Cotton Candy Day on December 7th, so write that down.
You'd think it would be in the summer.
But yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Although, the one thing about cotton candy, in the good old hot Iowa weather,
humidity,
it just kind of turns into this wonderful glob and your teeth get all...
Although one of the most entertaining things that I used to do with cotton candy growing up on county fairgrounds is that I had a dog, and I found out that feeding a dog cotton candy is actually rather entertaining. Because you give them a piece of cotton candy. I had a dog. It was a cross between a blue tick coonhound and a dachshund.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it looked and sounded like a blue tick, but it had legs 4 inches long and was dumber than a box of rocks. Cute was all he had going for him, Charlie. But he was a lovely dog. I loved him. And so we did everything together. And I fed him a little bit of cotton candy, and he takes a bite of the cotton candy. And the first bite's kind of tentative. What is this? The second bite, suddenly this is the greatest thing in the world. And the third bite is full of enthusiasm, and there's nothing there. And he looked really confused.
Oh, poor thing.
Dogs. I was a kid.
Dogs. So, you've had experience at the Iowa State Fair. I've seen you perform there a few times. Tell me about your experiences at the Iowa State Fair. And you're going to be there this year, too.
I will be there this year. Metro Arts has stepped up to revive the Arts Festival on the Fun Forest stage. I've been doing that for some 24, 25, 26, more than that years. Oh, my goodness. And so they have stepped up to bring the Arts Festival back. It's going to be called Art Ability, and they're going to be showcasing my show on the stage. I'm going to do a show called You Can Do Magic. And, again, it's doing fun things with kids and showing them some neat things they can do. And there's going to be some other acts on the stage. Dale Jones is a juggler, one-arm juggler that does some really fun stuff. So we've got a lot of great entertainment, but I'll be there all 11 days doing three shows a day. And you'll be able to go to the State Fair website to see the times. So it's a lot of fun. Okay. It's like going home for me.
Oh, good.
I grew up two blocks from the main gate of the fairgrounds, the State Fairgrounds.
No wonder you're in this business. My goodness. Of course. How nice.
Well, and you know that if you've ever gone to the Iowa State Fair, every house within a mile or more parks cars.
Oh, yes, yes.
And to let you know the kind of child that I was and how I gravitated toward this stuff, I park cars. But other kids were getting – now, this was 1968, 1969-ish. For our younger listeners, that was before the internet existed. That time actually happened. It was known as the Dark Ages. And so anyway, I parked cars. And other kids were getting at that time, $2.50, $2 a car. I was averaging $5 a car. And what I would do is I would lead the car from the front yard, from the driveway, all the way to the backyard. We had this huge backyard. Okay. And I could get an amazing number of cars in that yard. Mom always said I was spatial. And that's another one of them jokes. Thank you for laughing. Mama needs professional help. You know that, right? Okay. And so anyway, I would lead them from the driveway all the way back to the backyard. And I would fall down the same three places every time as I led them from the front yard to the back. Boom. Walk, walk, walk. Boom. Walk, walk, walk. Boom. By the time I got back there, they're getting out of the car, and usually it was the wife giving, oh, give that poor disabled child more money. I mean, they would just empty their pocket. Oh, there is nothing more manipulative than a child with a disability. Machiavelli was a Cub Scout, okay? And so Mom was worried that I was learning the wrong thing because, my mom was cool. And so she came out, and I still to this day cannot believe how she just played me like a violin. She comes out wearing an apron with a dish towel. Okay, now Mom was not Becky Homecki, okay? So she comes out with this, wearing an apron and a dish towel, and she's wringing her hands. And, Eric, I'm just so worried. If you can't walk in front of these cars without falling down, you're just going to have to stop parking cars. I did the math, and she said I never fell down again.
Oh, very good. So there's another State Fair connection here. This is important history. This is important stuff. So, Doc, do you do other things, other kinds of magic besides shell games and cards? I mean, do you do like bunnies and things like that and dolls and scarves and things like that?
I don't work with livestock because I travel around enough that it just livestock magic, doves and bunnies, that's not my style. But I do, all of my shows are, I do straight magic shows and all my shows are family friendly. I believe in that very, very, very strongly. Even the shows I do for adults, there's still shows you're not going to mind having kids watch. Because it's kind of scary hiring entertainment anymore. You don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you need to be doing is having to apologize to all your friends and neighbors for the entertainment you brought in. So my entertainment is my kid shows are grown-up friendly and my grown-up shows are kid-friendly. And that's the way that I work it. And I do straight comedy magic. Some of you may have heard a couple of the jokes that I've been making. You know, I think most of them have gone over Lana's head because she keeps giving me this look like, you know, somebody moved a food dish.
Yeah.
But isn't it a pity I don't have any fun doing this?
Oh, well.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I do regular magic. I do – one of the things I do we haven't even touched on is I do historical programs and demonstrations of seances and of all of the old 19th century spiritualism and spirit theater because I grew up around that. My mom was a spirit medium. And so I learned that whole side of it as well. All the stuff that spirit mediums and psychics have been doing for over 100 years, I learned all of that stuff. It's all these hidden communities that everyone suspected existed. They do, okay? And I'm kind of the walking repository of how they work. And so what I do is I do programs to show people, you know, what it's like. I even have free programs I do for service groups, you know, Rotary, Kiwanis, mm-hmm. churches, things like that. A variety of them, and they're on my website, mm-hmm. docanderson.com, mm-hmm. A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And so, you know, this is what I do. Is I take all these things I love, and I get paid to go, look at this cool thing.
Look at this cool thing. You mentioned you do interactive magic for kids. That sounds pretty good, to empower kids to think so they can do some magic too?
What I do with kids for birthday parties is a lot of times you think about a magician at a birthday party, and some of it's pretty scary, and clowns doubly so, because you know someone's Aunt Doris who does clowning is not the same as a circus-trained European tradition clown, okay? But they're birthday party performers that will do shows at kids. They'll stand up there and look a bunny, you know, look. I do stuff with kids. Think about it this way. My magic is the tool that I use to do my job. My job is to give these kids powerful, wonderful memories. And that is why we do birthday parties as parents. That's why we do this, is so that we give our kids these experiences, mm-hmm. and we live through them, and we watch them experience the world, and so that's what I do. My magic is just a tool, like a mechanic would use a wrench. But what I do is I entertain people, and I make sure that they feel good, they feel important, and they feel like they've had an experience.
That's a good way to be an entertainer. I think it sounds like a wonderful idea. You also, do you have any other tips for giving a good birthday party?
Well, I actually have what I call Doc's prescription for the perfect birthday party. And it's a list of things that just common sense stuff that parents can do to make sure that the birthday party goes off as smoothly as possible. And if anyone out there is interested in getting that, send me an email. I will be happy to send it to you. The email is doc@docanderson.com. Happy to send that to you. And, you know, you should be spending time enjoying that birthday party and enjoying that experience, not putting out fires and dealing with crises and things like that. So hopefully some of these tips will make your life easier.
Good. Good. Thanks for that information. You're listening to KHOI. We'll go back to some more music by Wild Asparagus. Here we are. Thank you. Mrs. O'Donnell on the kitchen. Another nice thing about summer and fairs and good fair food is ice cream. We've got a little bit of my cohort Donna here talking about ice cream. Here we go. Ice cream, ice cream. Donna's had put in a real hard job of looking up ice cream recipes, making ice cream gelatos and sorbets. So tell us what you found out, Donna.
Well, I was just kind of refreshing my brain on the distinctions between, say, gelato and ice cream and the history of frozen desserts. It's obviously the Italians claim to have invented this. And then there are stories about Marco Polo coming in with flavored snow, all kinds of extravagant historical things. And apparently George Washington... No, Thomas Jefferson was a huge ice cream fan.
Oh, it sounds like a Thomas Jefferson sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently he ran up a $250 ice cream bill at some point in some establishment. I think it was in Philadelphia or something. You know, I mean, this is American as it can be.
Scandal, scandal. Yeah. I love it.
So,
right. Ice cream.
So, you know, people now talk a lot about gelato this and sorbet that. But the basic distinctions are ice cream and gelato are quite similar, except that ice cream usually has a little more air whipped into it, and gelato can actually be a little more flavor dense. So there's not a huge difference, you know, so don't be worried about making that distinction too much. And then sorbet, or as we used to call it when we were growing up, sherbet.
Yes, sherbet.
Same thing. Really, these are usually non-dairy based, fruit based.
That's why it's different than ice cream. Ice
that's
cream
right.
has got cream.
Uh-huh.
Sorbet or sherbet is not.
And gelatos can kind of be either.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's granita, which is I'm going to give you a recipe for granita in a little bit, because granita is much more crystallized, and it's something you can make without an ice cream machine.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Donna was talking about granita, and that recipe is available on our website. Go to khoifm.org, look for the Donna Lana Kitchen, and look for the granita recipe there. We're back in the studio here with Doc Anderson. I want to ask you more about your advocacy for disabilities.
Well, it's kind of how I ended up doing all of this with the medicine shows and everything else. When I was a kid, my parents tried just about everything to straighten me out, and some of it worked, some of it was pretty silly. But I became fascinated with cure-alls and medical quackery and all that. And make a long story short, I still walk like a flamingo that's knees on backwards, but now I get to go around and tell people what I've learned about this fascinating part of entertainment history. But growing up with a disability, growing up with cerebral palsy, I was very often ignored and underestimated, and there were assumptions made about me, and it does shape how you grow up. And as a result, my hot button, if I have any button that you can just push reliably and get a reaction out of me, it is when I see someone that is not being treated like a person, not being treated well. I see people online that are subjected to just hateful speech and abuse. I see people that are, you know, whether it's cultural or disability or gender, that are not treated fairly and equitably. This is what really just drives me, and I firmly believe that people should be treated like people, period. No excuses, no exceptions. And that's a lot of what I do with my magic, is that I like meeting people. I love people. I have fun with them, and I respect them. I want to hear their stories. This is why I do what I do, is the people. And I don't care who it is, whether you're Republican, Democrat, we can all find common ground to talk to each other and be people at each other. That's what we ought to be doing.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. And you bring a lot of joy to whoever you do magic for. It's lovely. I've watched it. It's good. Keep up that good magic.
Well, you know, they always say I'm not fit for other work.
Well, I think the work you're doing is needs to be done.
Yeah, well, you know, Dad said crime wouldn't pay, and he also said I was good for nothing. So I'm trying to figure out between the two how you make a living.
Very good. Very good. A creative person you are, yes. So look for Doc Anderson at the Iowa State Fair and other fairs festivals.
And at the farmer's market. Come down. Say hi. A balloon. Yeah. Be silly.
Give your email again or your website.
You can take a look at what I do at docanderson.com, all one word, DocAnderson. And I can be reached by email at doc@docanderson.com, or you can throw me a text or give me a call, 515-238-1325.
Thanks for being with us today. Keep up that good
magic.
Oh,
it's been a pleasure, and thanks to the folks here at KHOI. Having me in and community radio is a lot like a county fair. It is all about local effort and bringing the community together and celebrating all those things that make us great as a community. So I'm happy to be here.
Ah, yes. Thanks for those words. Good. I want to mention that there's some fun stuff going on this week. Last night I went to the opening concert of the Heartland Marimba Festival, and there's other Heartland Marimba Festival stuff going on in Ames all week. Do take that in. You'll be amazed what these people do. They play these things like big wooden xylophones, and there was a group from Madison that did a totally percussion piece on cans and
See, and that to me is magic.
That is.
Listening to someone make music is magic.
Oh,
I mean, you've heard
was.
Me try to make music.
It was.
You know why I went into magic, okay?
Some people do that. You do what you do. Anyway, Heartland Marimba Festival. Find out more at heartlandmarimbafestival.com. They will be actually at the Bandshell concert here in Ames at the Bandshell Park on Thursday. And there'll be all kinds of stuff going on there. Plus, all week, like I said, go to that website. And also, I'm always mentioning this. This is my fun thing to do. The Central Iowa Barn Dance will hold the last dance of this season, June 27th. That is this Saturday at the Collegiate Wesley Annex. And starts at 8 o'clock. The band will be Porch Stompers. The caller will be Roger Alexander. And find out more at cibd.org, that's Central Iowa Barn Dance.org. We'll go out with some more Wild Asparagus music. This is a set starting out with a tune called Jug of Punch. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen with special guest Doc Anderson. Music by Wild Asparagus. Engineering by Rick and Virab. Good job. Eat good food. Enjoy life.